And some of you who know me know that times that I actually like to do topics that are not touched upon. So that's what this morning is, one of those topics. And some of you guys are probably wondering, well, he's going to talk about the branch, but if you look at the outline, it talks about death. You notice that? How many notice that? Probably looking at wondering, well, what's he talking, what's he doing? I forewarned you in May, I think it was, that I did one on suffering, and I forewarned you that I might do one on death. And you guys all shook your heads. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Well, here it is. This morning we're going to do it. All right? The reason I use the branches is because I want to use it as a visual aid in explaining death. So I want to use that. And of course, you can sort of see one here. We'll get into that in a little bit. It's a very simple way to explain death. And it's one of these ways that you can probably use it to help those in your community and those that you meet as well. And understand their position as sinners before God and separated from God. And you and I must understand and realize that those that we come in contact with and work with may not know Jesus Christ. And we need to make them know that and realize that they are separated from God. In fact, in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says there is a problem. The problem is your sins have separated you from your God. Because of your sin, God has hidden his face from you and will not listen anymore. Let's just pray before we begin. Father, we just thank you for this day, this time. I thank you for your word, and I know that this is a topic which is not really talked about too much on a Sunday morning. However, if we were to take your word and start right from Genesis to Revelations, this topic is talked about a lot. So be with me as I speak and be with those that are here today. Help them understand what you laid on my heart. In thy name, amen. Now, I have a branch up front here. I know there's a couple other people that do, right? Who has the branches? Sheila, just come down to the front right here and just show everybody. Come on. Diane, stand up. Show yours. Mark, come on. Come on. Okay, everybody, they got a branch, right? Branch. Okay, see it all? Mine's got some of the stuff on it as well. My question to you, is this branch dead or alive? Is Sheila's dead or alive, or is Mark's dead or alive? Dead? Not dead yet. Okay. Any other questions? Any other answers? It's what? It's dying. Okay. All right. All right. Guys can go sit back down again and we'll get into it. But how can you say it's dead? It's cut off. Okay. But I want you to look at it. It looks pretty green, doesn't it? Looks pretty green. It looks live to me. But is it really dead? It's actually dead. Looks alive, but really dead. Because it is what? Separated from the tree, which is its source of life. That correct? That is the perfect definition of death according to the Bible. All right? In the Bible, death means separation. Not cessation of existence or annihilation, as some religions teach. Death is separation from the source of life. And who is the source of life? What? There you go. I want you guys to yell it out, okay, if I ask. We live forever. That's what we know. From God's word tells us that we live forever. But the question is, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? How many of you know where you spend eternity? And hopefully all of you put up your hands and say, yeah, I know where I'm going to spend it. All right? Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So what did God say would happen to Adam if he sinned? What was his command? Did God tell Adam that if he ate the forbidden fruit that he must start doing religious rituals such as praying at a certain location? Go to the street corner, go wherever. Pray 5 days, 5 times a day from a certain place facing a certain way. Or pray to a church saint. Or going to church. or lighting some candles. What did God tell Adam would take place? What's that? That's right. That's what God said. God said to Adam, you're going to die. And God also makes it real crystal clear as well. The payment for sin is not doing religious acts, duties, or good deeds. It is death. What does Romans 6:23 say? Does anybody know that off heart? Thinking. For the wages of sin is death. There we go. So the verse is very crystal clear. The penalty or the price tag is death. Tell me, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, did they just fall over right at that moment? Dead? No, they did not. So what did God mean when he said those words to Adam? What did he mean? In the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. What did he mean? So let's begin. Let's look at the certainty of death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed for each person to die once, and after this, judgment. There's an interesting word that's in that verse. Hopefully you heard it and know what it is. It says we're going to die by what? By an appointment. And I went and actually looked up that word and said, you know, sometimes words intrigue me. I'm a guy that likes to look at words. I went to look at the word. What does that word mean? What is the root of that word? That word means reserved. Does it click? It speaks of reservation. How many of you ever made a reservation to go to a hotel for the evening on a trip? And you got there, you got your room, right? Because you've already paid for that room. That's what this word means. You have a reservation. We may be late for a lot of things in our lives. How many of you have been late for appointments? Yeah, we all have, right? We all have. But you know what? This is one appointment we're going to keep unless Jesus returns first. In other words, death is inevitable. Psalms 89:48 says, no one can live forever. In the physical sense, we can't live forever in this body. All will die. And no one can escape the power of the grave. Ecclesiastes 12:7, it says, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, the spirit returns to God who gave it. None of us can hold back our departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. And there's really no escaping that obligation, nor that appointment. In the face of death, good deeds and piety or even acting like a Christian will certainly not rescue those who practice them. So the Bible speaks of the fact of death. And the inescapable reality of death faces everyone and removes all our hopes for immortality in this life. And we know there's certain religions that teach us incarnation. What is that? Well, when you die, you hopefully that you come back as something else, right? And hopefully that when you do come back, you come higher than the status you were at this moment, not to come back as some beetle in the ground somewhere. Or become a god. God has ordained the very day, the very hour, the very minute, the very second of your death. And you can't hurry it or hinder it or change that appointment. In fact, I found this in Job 14:1-2 and verse 5. It says, how what? Frail is humanity. What does it go on? It says, how what? Short is life, and how what? Full of trouble. Like a flowery blossom for a moment, and then wither, like the shadow of a passing cloud. We quickly disappear. And then it says, you, and that is God, have decided the what? The length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we're not given a minute longer. So the Ecclesiastes says, there is a time for everything. A season for every activity under this heaven, time to be born and a time to die. And as soon as you, let me just try to put this in words now. When does life begin? Now hold it. Somebody said birth, right? Somebody said birth. But somebody said, when does life begin? Conception. Even though God is there at that moment knitting you together in conception, developing, growing, what else is there? If life begins at conception, that means death is there as well. Correct? That is correct. So in the moment of conception, the battle with death begins. It may rage on for more than 70 years or more after you're born. There's no discharge from that battle. It goes on and on until it finally claims you. Everybody's going to die. However, I want you to know, if you're a believer, you will not experience spiritual eternal death. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, absent from the body is to be what? At home with the Lord. So when we close our eyes in death here on earth, we immediately open them in glory in the very presence of our Lord and our Savior Jesus. And that is for all who believe in Him. If you don't, well, you'll know what a hot dog feels like on the barbecue. Correct? It'd be a pretty hot place. But the fact to remember is that it is appointed for us to die once. In other words, death is impartial. My grandfather, my mom's dad, was a mailman. And he used to deliver mail every day of the week, except for Saturdays and Sundays, and all types of weather. And he'd deliver the mail right to the front door. He either put it in the mailbox beside the door, or you have a little slot on the door. You remember those ones? And you shoved the mail through. And he brought bills. He brought letters, wedding invitations, birth certificates, legal papers, and of course, junk mail. Shove it through and put it wherever. So just like the mailman, he comes to the home of the wealthy, the middle class, those on social assistance. Death is no respecter of person's position or age. Death comes. Now, I got a weird habit. I always like to buy papers on Saturday morning. I always like the comics and that. What section of the newspaper do you guys turn to first thing? In the newspaper. What would you turn to? Sports? Comics? What's that? Classifieds. You know which one I turn to sometimes? Start my day off with? You got it. I always love reading them. I always find it interesting. I found one just a while ago, and the family wrote in the first words, it was unexpected and sudden. Basically, we don't know what happened. Our mother died at 105. And I'm thinking, God's given her a pretty good life. But it's like, unexpected? But anyways, I do. Like, I go to it and I read it. And I discover that death comes at all ages. All ages. I remember my sister, when we heard word that she was going to be expecting her first child, and the pregnancy was quite a ways along, and they found out within about the eighth month or so that there's something wrong with the baby. But she was born on her due date. But Rebecca had some real physical problems. The doctors were amazed that she even survived the birth. And at 10 days, Rebecca passed. And we laid her to rest a few days later. And I think of the Holstress family. Grandpa lives to almost be 100. Lives through World War II. It's unreal. Different ages. But death is the divine punishment for Adam's disobedience. And therefore, death comes to all. Now I want to look at the classifications of death, because the Bible speaks about death in a number of different ways. And we will look at three of them, which are included in the Bible. First, I want to look at is spiritual death. It's a separation of spirit and soul from God. The day that Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually. Spiritual death is the separation of a person from God, a loss of intimacy, a loss of communication, the loss of relationship with God. Of course, like this branch, of course, the branches that are out there, separated from the tree, it has no relationship with the tree it came from anymore. And it's the same. Adam and Eve's close relationship with the Lord was severed. It was dead. Adam and Eve had become sinners. They no longer wanted to be with God, especially a holy and loving God who created them. What does Genesis tells us to? What tells us what they did? What did they do? Just as soon as they ate it, what happened? Well, they discovered that, well, they better put some clothes on and go hide from God, which they did. And because God is holy, he cannot act as though everything is okay. Sin is repulsive to God. In Habakkuk 1:13, it says, your eyes, as God's eyes, are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. And there's no amount of religious deeds or good works can remove sin and make a person spiritually alive and pure again. Sin separated Adam and Eve from God. What I want you to know is the news even gets worse. Take that branch again, those ones that got it. Just hold it up for a second. Okay? Question is, what part of it is dead as a result of being separated from the tree? The whole branch is dead, correct? Okay, including the little twigs on the tops, the little pieces of fruit as well. And if these leaves and the fruits and these little branches could talk, perhaps they would say something, now wait a minute, it's not our fault. The branch got separated from the tree. I actually cut them off. We're not affected by what someone else did. But I want you to know, you can put it down, they are affected. In the same way, since Adam is the head of the human race, we're all affected by his sin. As descendants of Adam, we're all members of the same dead branch. Of course, you know what these leaves are for. They're to help give food to the tree as well, right? Sin is a part of our human nature. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this death came to all, because all sinned. When Adam sinned, the entire human race yet to be born was separated from God. Even before we die physically, we are separated, spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. And as I was putting that together, there's an old hymn that came to my mind. The old hymn's title is, And Can It Be? How many remember that old hymn? And Can It Be? Verse 2 says these words, He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free. For me, O my God, it found me out. Great hope, isn't there, in the blood of Christ. Now we're going to look at physical death. The separation of spirit and soul from the body. And of course, this week we had a few scares with some of our members of our church, the church family. We thought for sure one of them was going to be gone, especially with the texts going around. Physical death is the cessation of life in the physical body. And one undeniable fact about the future of every person is death. James 2 says, the body without the spirit is dead. So the day Adam and Eve sinned, they also began to die physically. Even as the leaves on this branch do not dry up instantly, so Adam and Eve's bodies did not drop dead the day they sinned and disobeyed. But death took a hold. Death's power had planted itself in their bodies and, of course, passed it on to us. If we were to take time and actually read Genesis 5, it records the results of that sin. 8 times it says, then he died. Even though these people lived to be 900 years or plus or a little bit less, they died. The Bible is very clear. And 1 Corinthians 15, it says, everyone dies because all of us are what? Related to Adam. And though our bodies die, our spirit and soul goes on living. The Bible says our spirit and soul is immortal. Death is a transition to a different place of existence, and not extinction. Now let's look at eternal death. It's a separation of spirit, soul, and body from God forever. Eternal death is the finalization of the state of separation. A person is lost for all eternity in their sinful condition, an endless period of punishment and separation from the presence of God. The finalization, the lost state of a person who was spiritually dead at the time of physical death. And I think about that, and I wonder how many of us ever really consider that when we see those around us who are spiritually dead. That if we don't do anything, they're going to spend eternity separated from God. God has given us a great calling to go. Go. The harvest is there. Go. Yes, we know that there'll be those who reject Jesus Christ. We know that. And they'll bear the consequences of their choice. Eternal death, totally separated from God for all eternity. 2 Corinthians 1 says, they'll be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. We know that a living branch is to bear leaves and fruit, and of course the leaves, like I said, are used to feed the tree itself. And the fruit, of course, produces fruit for us to eat and animals to eat as well. But when these branches have no real purpose, Jesus says they are to be gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. And we have to realize that God provided a solution for Adam's and Eve's sin once their bodies died. God knew he had to make a way for them so that they would not be eternally separated from God. In fact, the Bible calls this death, the second death, and it occurs after the physical death. It found in Revelation 20. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This whole concept of eternal hell seems far-fetched to you. Perhaps it's due to our failure to really grasp the awfulness of sin. Revelation 21:27 says, nothing impure will enter it, that is, into the new heaven, nor will anyone who does anything that defiles, or what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there today? Is it? Pardon? Yes. Boy, oh boy. I'm sitting there thinking, boy, a lot of guys are not going to be there when I'm there. Yes. Amen. But remember that God has established natural laws. We know that a severed branch dies, withers. So God has spiritual laws that demand that sin be paid for with death. Spiritual, physical, and eternal separation from the source of life, God. Now I look at the conquest of death. Because sin has entered into the world, resulting in the death for all of us, whom did God send to help us? Yes, God sent his only Son to die on the cross of Calvary in order to bear our sins and provide salvation from the cause of death. I know. It's because of Adam's disobedience, we all must die. And that is why God became flesh and died on a cross, that by dying he would break the power of the devil who had the power of death. It was Satan who introduced death into the world. And that's why he's described as the one who holds the power of death. But God entered into the history of humanity in the body of Jesus to destroy the very cause of death. And how did he accomplish this? Well, he left heaven, did he not? Entered the womb of a young virgin, born, grew up, ministered for 3 years, was arrested, beaten, took out to a cross, nailed, and died. And then they buried him. And then he rose from what? The dead. In that moment, he disarmed Satan. He'd gone into Satan's territory and took death from him. Jesus conquered death because he rose from the grave. Jesus took away the fear and the pain of death for all of us who believe in him. And I know there's fear there, but as Christians, we shouldn't. Satan has no power over us in respect to death. To us, death is but a moment of sleep from which we awake to enjoy forever the glorious presence of our whom? Of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. What a day that will be. This is salvation from the sting of death, and the Bible teaches that death has a sting to it. And that sting is found in 1 Corinthians. It says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Sin is the only power that can hold us in death. Death only exists because of sin. So when sin is done away with, death loses its hold on us who experience forgiveness of sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ. If you have experienced the forgiveness of sin, you will not experience the sting of death because your sins have been forgiven. But if you haven't, you will pay for the penalty of your sin, which is eternal separation from God and eternal suffering in hell. But we have to know that Jesus took the sting of death by bearing your sins and my sins upon himself, so that you and I who believe in him will never know the sting of death. And of course, salvation removes the fear of death. Yet, I know death is a very fearful thing. We don't want to die, do we? We still have a lot of life to enjoy, don't we? Yeah, young people. You're young now, but just wait. They'll go like that. And you'll be my age and Kurt's age and whoever else in here. All right? It strikes us at any time with little respect of age, class, creed, or race. And therefore becomes our most frightening anticipation. But why is death so dreadfully fearful? Well, because if you do not know Jesus Christ, you'll stand before God and answer to the reason why you said no to his free gift of salvation. And if we measure ourselves against God's perfect standard, which is Jesus, we really see our condition before him. However, there is an answer. Romans 5:8. Anybody else know that one off heart? God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He lived a perfect life for us. He died on the cross for our sins, buried and rose again. God in his infinite love made a way for us to stand before him. And that is through the blood of his Son. Therefore, death holds no fear for those who received him as their Savior. In fact, when you think about it, the moment we pass from here, we enter into the glories of heaven. Limitations of this earthly life will be gone. The pain, the sorrow will be gone. And we'll be in a place of unbelievable joy. Yeah. So to us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, there's no fear because death is not a new path. Jesus already died and he's rose again. He's already gone from here to heaven. And of course, I know in Luke, we talked about it this year as well, where Lazarus was carried into the presence of God by angels. Think about that. Not only is the path cleared for us to go, there's going to be angels going to take us home. What a day. What a day. So, this severed branch, hopefully it reminds you of the certainty of death. We cannot escape it. Also, too, reminds us that there's also a classifications of death. There's spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. But remember, there is a conquest of death, which Jesus has accomplished through his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. You and I should have been there, hanging on there, but he took our place. And to know him personally is to be delivered from the very cause and staying in fear of death. Yes, there is hope. There is good news. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, it says these words, "For God says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is what? The day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus today, you can do it right now. And you won't have to worry and fear of death. So my question to you, and if I look around, I can probably get a good answer out of all of you. Are you prepared to meet God? Yes. Yes, good. If not, I maybe have to pray for each one of you individually, right? But yes. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I know this is kind of an odd topic to talk about, but if we read your word, it is there. Right from the very beginning to the very end. And Father, help us to realize that death is certain. Help us prepare today for that day by accepting your Son as our Savior. In thy wonderful name, amen.